This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot going on to talk about in the Umpqua Valley, and Matt Hill in here today, Executive Director of Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So I want to talk about the timber industry today. Overall, how do you feel like it is doing? Let's start out with the local level.
Well, I think the local level is about the same as the national level for this industry. It's been a long slog. There's a lot of headwinds that our manufacturers are facing, and that has downstream effects on our landowners, our timber landowners, our loggers, and other businesses that rely on the industry. And it's been a tough couple years, and folks are trying to hang on as best they can and try to see some light at the end of the tunnel.
How do you feel what do you feel like the end of the tunnel? Do you see light there?
It depends who you ask, and it depends what product a manufacturer might be making. So let me go through a couple things. We're in a world economy, and so there's competition for the products. There's competition for the logs that make the products, and it's complicated. Here in Oregon, Western Oregon, our lumber demand is largely driven by residential housing construction, largely in California. And in May of 2026, just a month and a half ago, we hit a six-year low for residential housing starts. So the demand for product is not optimal. There's a little bit better demand coming for multifamily housing units, and again that's largely being driven out of California. Other products, more of the engineered wood, LVL, those types of products have slightly better demand, and then some of our specialty products, larger dimension products being made by Herbert, Starfire, mills like that, have more niche markets that haven't been as affected. That's on the demand side. On the competitive side, in terms of who are we competing against to fill those limited markets, Canadian competition continues to impact us significantly. This is a fight that's been going on a long time. The way Canada sells its federal timber is very different from the way the United States sells its federal timber. The advantage is stacked heavily in the favor of Canadian lumber manufacturers. The administration has a series of actions it's taken against Canada, and we can get into this a little bit later, but not all lumber products are covered by those tariffs and duties.
Interesting. Now, let's talk about the recent closure of Nordic Veneer. The announcement came out at the end of last week. What were your thoughts there?
Very sad to hear the news. Nordic is a member of DTO. It's a great company. It's a great facility. It's a great family. We're very disheartened, to hear about that. It's an indicator of what all of our manufacturers are facing. I mean, Nordic was facing a change in its local customer demand. It tried to get its product out to market, but it should have been able to sell that veneer product in the market. But again, it's facing heavily subsidized or dumped veneer coming in from Canada that other remanufacturers are able to pick up, at rock bottom prices, and that's not fair competition. We've got to do something about it.
Now, the company had done a shift reduction in, I believe it was April, went from about 50 employees to about half of that. Where are the jobs for the people that have left Nordic or are in the process of leaving Nordic?
I know that they are actively working with other mills to try to find placement for those employees if they want to stay in the industry, and I think many of them have been able to find jobs in other facilities. Other folks may just find a time to retire, or maybe they wanted to pursue another line of work.
Do you feel like for a smaller company, your options are reduced, whereas if you're a larger organization, you've got more ways or maybe more capital to pivot a little bit differently and stay in the industry?
It's possible, but some of our larger companies, like Rosebrook Forest Products, have also had severe curtailments and restructuring in the last couple of years that have resulted in job losses. So, this market is no walk in the vineyard for any of these mills, and everyone's facing the same challenges. Mortgage rates are also a factor that are affecting the demand side. In terms of light at the end of the tunnel, when I talk to some of our manufacturers, they're beginning to see glimmers of light, and they're just trying to cut costs and try to get through this as efficiently as possible and come out the other end and hopefully see a rebound in the market. And this isn't new. This is the market fluctuations are something that these companies have dealt with throughout their existence. This one has just been a longer downturn than normal.
When you talk about lower housing starts, it comes at a time when everybody is talking about the need for more housing. It seems like at least maybe back as far as 08, 09 in the recessionary period there, and maybe even a bit before that, we have been behind on the amount of homes, and a lot of folks thought that would just through natural market cycles would catch up, but it doesn't seem like we've done that.
We haven't done it. There's a lot of factors that go into it, depending on the state. It could be land availability. It could be the cost of other materials going into the house. It could be the availability of contractors. Whether you're building a single family home or a multifamily housing unit, and those are policies and things that can be affected by state policies, land use policies here in Oregon. So it's complicated.
Well, and some of the data as well. There was something I heard last week about the average age of a first-time home buyer now being like 40. And a lot of us that are way past that, bought our first home closer to, late 20s, around 30.
And I just saw a statistic yesterday that half of Americans under the age of 30 are living with their parents.
Right.
So, it also gets into are people in the workforce, how much are they making, do they have family wage jobs that can afford, a mortgage? And, in this area, our industry has provided family wage jobs for generations. And so when we lose a mill, we're losing, at Nordic, when they were at full employment, that was 50 employees. And each of those was a family wage job with benefits, with bonus structures. You could support a family with that. And when those go away, they're not being replaced, by other industries. And I have to take a moment. I hear in the political chatter in this county criticism of our county commissioners for not trying to diversify the economy here, and I take issue with that argument, because these mills like Nordic, Nordic has been operating for 72 years, employing thousands of people over that time period. Rosebrook Forest Products started in 1936. That was 90 years ago. Douglas County Forest Products started 85 years ago. Herbert Lumber, 79 years ago. D.R. Johnson, 75 years ago. And you can go down the line. These are companies that have employed thousands and thousands of people for generations in this community. And this community is built with them and their tax revenue and their community involvement. And where are the replacement industries? Where's Bayliner? Where's Alcan? Where's all these other companies that came here and left? Our companies, our family-owned forest products, mills, manufacturers, landowners, they're here to stay, because this is where the trees are. This is where the industry has to be. They can't move. And so you look at a 90-year-old company, that's something worth a lot in this community. And that's why we defend them, and that's why we protect them, let alone all of the revenue that comes to our county government from the harvest of federal timber.
All right, Matt Hill with us this afternoon. Going to take a break. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. Republican candidate for Governor Christine Drazen on Inside Douglas County tomorrow at 1230. Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. How long have you been doing that?
Since it's 2018.
So in it for a while, a background as a congressional staffer for how many years?
I was a congressional staffer for Senator Gordon Smith in Washington, D.C. for 10 years.
So you've seen all these topics, whether it's timber or other things, through kind of a diverse set of lenses.
I have worked on these federal timber issues my entire adult career. And you know, starting as a congressional staffer, wasn't it my intention. I wanted to work in foreign policy. That's what my formal education was in. But Senator Smith said, "You're from Roseburg, you're going to handle timber issues."
It was that simple?
Yep.
Wow.
I did what he said. He's a senator.
Well, yeah, and you wanted to keep your job, which obviously you did for a very long time. Speaking of D.C. for timber, what about the Trump administration? Obviously, a number of policy changes over the Biden administration, yet some things don't seem to change very quick, even if the top-end policy, somebody puts out a press release, it's a lot different.
There's a lot happening with the Trump administration. And, you know, in my time working on these issues since 1999, there has never been more attention paid to federal timber issues, particularly in Oregon, than during this administration, this Trump administration. At the national level, the Trump administration has issued an executive order on timber production, making it a national security issue. He's ordered his federal land management agencies to do work to improve federal forest management, to reduce the impact of fire, the risk of fire. And then at the agency level, you have two very big things happening that will affect Douglas County and our forest products economy. First, on the BLM side, the ONC land management by the Bureau of Land Management operates under what's called a resource management plan, which has been in place since the Obama administration, that has a certain amount of timber production that's anticipated under it. And what you see in the press when the BLM reports its numbers of, we just sold $10 million worth of timber, that's according to the Obama plan. So they're hitting their targets there, but that is far less than what the forests grows, far less than what the BLM historically had produced, and therefore the county is receiving less timber receipt sharing from those timber sales. So what the BLM is doing now, it's rewriting that resource management plan for Western Oregon, that it could quadruple timber harvest on the ONC lands, which would have a dramatic positive impact on the revenues that Douglas County gets. And then the Forest Service is the other.
So, as is the case in other topics, sometimes from the time the initial policy changes until you really see things on the ground changing, there's obviously a time period there to sort of to get to that point.
Yeah, these ships don't turn quickly. And, you go back to the George W. Bush administration, his administration rewrote this BLM ONC management plan in a plan called the WOPR, the Western Oregon Plan Revision. It was finalized, never saw the light of day. The Obama administration came in, stopped it, rewrote it, enacted it, and that's what we've been operating under. So now the Trump administration is very quickly trying to revise that plan, try to get it implemented, assuming it meets legal tests and challenges, it will be litigated. Assuming it survives that, then it would take several years to start planning timber sales under that plan, each of which may face their own litigation challenges. Meanwhile, the BLM, the agency itself, has faced staffing reductions through retirement incentives and attrition, that type of thing. So there's a question of whether or not there's the manpower in place to be able to implement that level of timber harvest.
And in 2 years, you've got a presidential election. It will not be the current president, whether it's a Republican or Democrat. Who knows what the new policy will be?
Elections have consequences, and we have lived with the consequences of those. But you go back to 1994, Bill Clinton had just been elected president. came to Oregon and created the Northwest Forest Plan, which governed both BLM and Forest Service lands within the range of the spotted owl. And that plan was supposed to give us a sustainable, predictable supply of timber while meeting ecological objectives. And none of that has happened on either BLM or Forest Service land. Neither agency has produced those levels of timber. Spotted owl populations continue to decline. Spotted owl habitat is burning at astronomical rates. The forest is being converted into a standing field of dead firewood. Our recreation, our air, our water is all being impacted. So none of the Clinton promises have happened. And I think what the Trump administration is doing is taking a real hard look at that and going back to the drawing board and trying to start from scratch.
For the agencies themselves, and I didn't grab the BLM press release from yesterday, but you really see a difference just even in the way it's written in terms of what they are saying their goals are. Much more timber industry friendly, I guess is a way I put it.
It's from the press release, they're proud of their timber accomplishments, and I'm glad they're motivated. I'm glad they understand the role of those ONC lands, which is for timber production, and we'd like to see more of it.
Now, as you look through the rest of the year, one of the things we've also got the question mark on is how we're going to make it through fire season.
Your guess is as good as mine. It's dry out there for sure. The water levels are very low, like a third lower than normal. People need to be extremely cautious with fire in the woods and dragon chains on trailers and all those things that are man-made causes of fire. However, the big fires that we experience in this area are generally from lightning starts. And so when we get dry lightning storms that move through, that can start hundreds and hundreds of fires simultaneously, that's my nightmare. And then you add to that any type of east wind event like we had with Archie Creek in 2020, that's what I'm very concerned about.
A couple minutes left with Matt Hill of the Douglas Timber Operators. What's ahead for your organization? What are you working on?
Well, we're working on a few things. These federal plan revisions are extremely important. It's the biggest opportunity to change the federal timber management in my lifetime, and it will guide federal forest management for the rest of my life and the rest of all of our lives. And so it's worth digging in and spending the time to help guide those and shape them and understand how they'll impact us here locally.
And do you maintain kind of a hopeful stance about what's ahead?
I think the administration's direction to the agencies is very positive, and we're just trying to get those plans across the finish line and have them look the way that they need to look and be realistic about the impact of fire and fire risk and the need to maintain our manufacturing and logging and trucking infrastructure to be able to do forest health work and stewardship work and things that benefit everyone. Once you lose your mills and your loggers, there's no one left to do the work. And we're very blessed to have that infrastructure here. Most places in the American West that face the same fire issues don't have that left. They don't have mills to take the logs. They don't have loggers to do the work. And once they're gone, they're gone.
What about the Canadian situation? Anything we can change there?
Absolutely. I think there can be pressure applied to the administration to take another look at some of the products that are not covered by tariffs and duties. Two of them specifically are veneer, like what Nordic produced, glulam products, things like that. D.R. Johnson, other mills like that are affected, where Canadians are dumping, subsidized products into our market that's putting our mills out of business, and that's not how it should be.
If somebody wants to find out more about Douglas Timber Operators, what's your website? How do they get more information?
DougTimber.org.
All right, Matt Hill, Executive Director of the Douglas Timber Operators. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.